You can be seated. Please turn in your copy of the scriptures to 1 Thessalonians 3. 1 Thessalonians 3, 6 through 10 is our passage for the day. You can find that in the Pew edition on page 987. This is the end of Timothy's report after visiting Thessalonica and returning to Paul and Silas, where they are ministering first at Athens and then at Corinth. When Timothy finally arrives, he left them for several months to go check on the condition of the Thessalonian church. And so now he's back, he's given his report, and Paul is writing of the good news that he has heard to the Thessalonians. So hear the word of the living God. This is 1 Thessalonians 3, beginning at verse 6. But now that Timothy has come to us from you and has brought us the good news of your faith and your love, and reported that you always remember us kindly and long to see us, as we also long to see you, for this reason, brothers, in all our distress and affliction, we have been comforted about you through your faith. For we now live if you are standing fast in the Lord. For what thanksgiving can we return to God for you, for all the joy that we feel for your sake before our God, as we pray most earnestly, night and day, that we may see you face to face and supply what is lacking in your faith. Amen. God's word for us as children. Well, the word good news pops up in the scriptures a lot of places in the New Testament. It's the word gospel. Back in the Roman culture, if you were receiving good news, it was the word gospel. What is the gospel? It is good news. What is the biblical use of the word gospel? It is the good news that God in Christ is saving men and women and boys and girls, bringing them from darkness to light and rescuing them from sin by a Savior for life in Jesus Christ. What is the good news? It is the gospel. What is the gospel? It is the good news that God in Christ is saving men and women and boys and girls. Well, Paul is on his second missionary journey. He's on his second missionary journey after his Damascus Road experience, where God in Christ called him from being a persecutor to being a gospel preacher, a gospel messenger, an evangelist of that good news. And so as Paul goes on these missionary journeys, what does he do? He preaches the good news. I don't know if you know this about the New Testament scriptures, but there's a handful of preaching words. The general word preaching simply means proclamation. A person would go out and proclaim good news on behalf of the king. Good news, and then give it. Then there's a preaching word that's actually the verb to give good news. It's the word we get evangelism from. And in the New Testament, the word to give the good news is to evangelize. And that word is what Paul uses here in 1 Thessalonians 3, verse 6. He says about Timothy, who's come back from the churches at Thessalonica. He's come back from encouraging them in the faith and seeing how they are, because Paul was beside himself, not knowing how they were faring in their spiritual walk. And Paul says, when Timothy comes back and tells us how you're doing, he uses, it's the only time in the New Testament other than gospel good news, he uses the good news word. Can you imagine Paul's excitement after all the hand-wringing and all the wondering and worrying and praying for the Thessalonians? He's now heard they're doing well. They're standing firm in the Lord. And Paul writes back to them and says, we have heard the gospel about you. Isn't that a very interesting use of that gospel word for the apostle to say when he speaks of the Thessalonians? Could it be said of us, if someone came to check on our church and see how we are faring spiritually in this world, in our own struggles with remnant sin, the flesh, and under the temptations and the disastrous attempts of the devil to destroy his church, would someone say, oh, there's good news, there's gospel about those Thessalonians, about those people of the church in Burlington. And so Tim's report is good news, it's gospel to a man under great distress and great affliction, as he has not seen these people for some time. He was torn away from them because they had to leave Thessalonica by night. He has been concerned and distressed and even afflicted over their condition, not knowing it. And so Timothy's report is good news, gospel news. And the big point that Paul wants to make here in this passage, you find it in verse 7. He simply says this: we have been comforted. We have been comforted about you. We have been comforted about your spiritual condition. Timothy has gone. We have remained behind. He came to encourage you and to exhort you. Now he has returned, and his report is gospel. His report is good news. He hears of their faith. He hears of their growth in grace, and he hears that they are faring well under persecution. Remember, Paul said, we looked at this last week, I'm sending Timothy to you. He is my right-hand man in ministry, and I'm willing to be left alone in Athens so that he can come to you and seek your well-being, and he can seek your welfare by preaching and teaching to you. So his right-hand man goes, and he checks on them. And when he comes back and gives the report, it is such over-the-top good tidings to Paul. He calls it gospel, good news. And he's going to speak in this passage of the evidences of the lives, the spiritual lives of the Thessalonians in a couple words. He's going to use the word joy and the word thanksgiving. And in a sense, he's going to say, when I didn't know how you were, I was dying inside. Now that I know how you're doing, I am living. And so he speaks of their spiritual well-being according to Timothy's report. And you find the first hint of that in verse 6. He's brought us the good news of your faith in God. He's brought us of the good news of your love for your fellow man. He's brought us the good news of your regard for us apostles. First, the faith in God. Remember last week we considered the parable of the soils. The sower went out to sow, and he sows the seed, and some falls on the path, it gets trampled, and Satan is like the bird who comes and snatches the seed up so it never gets into the mind or the heart of the hearer. And then there's some seed that falls among the weeds, and as it grows up with the weeds choke it. It's like the cares of the world. We love the Lord, and then we don't, and so we fall away. And then there's some seed that falls among the rocks, and it grows up quickly. But because it has no root in soil and in sustenance, it withers away. But then there's that good seed that falls on the good soil, and because it's received with a good heart, it's received with a willing spirit, and it's well-watered by the church of Jesus, that seed germinates, it grows, and it produces 100-fold. And so when Paul hears about how they are doing in the midst of hardship and suffering and persecution, he rejoices in their faith in God. They believe in the Word of God. They believe in the gospel of God. They believe in the provision of God in Christ. They believe they are sinners in need of Jesus, and they have received him and are trusting in him alone, and they are standing firm in that faith. Each of you has a faith in God that is real and is personal to you. There was a moment in time when you read the Word of God, or perhaps it was read to you, and you believed what it said about God and sin and wrath and judgment, but especially you believed what it said about you, and that you are a sinner in need of God's grace, and that you laid hold of it because you saw that Jesus was the scapegoat. Jesus was the Passover lamb. Jesus was the ram in the thicket. And so you laid hold of God in Christ by faith. And Paul says, your faith is strong, your faith in God. And each of us needs that faith to live life before God. We need that faith to trust in Jesus. We need that faith to get through the bumps and the valleys and the losses and crosses of this life. And so he rejoices in the good news of their faith. He also rejoices in their love. For sure, Timothy comes back and says they love each other. They are the church of love. They are the church of fellowship. They are the church that loves sinners. And they go out into the world and take the good news, the gospel, to others. But also he says, I rejoice because you have regard for us. Remember, this is a strange thing. Why would Paul rejoice that we're popular among you? That's not the idea. He rejoices that they still believe Paul was a messenger of God. They still believe that Paul, though he was in adversity, though he was run out of town, though he did not appear to have the prominence of the other Roman orators and speakers, that he was God's man because the suffering he endured has produced a harvest among them. And so he says, you regard us, you remember us kindly, and you long to see us as well. And so how does this help Paul's anguish? How does this put his fears at rest? How does this help his condition as he has been worried sick, you might say, about the people of God at the church at Thessalonica? Well, Tim's report of their faith, his report of their love, his good news that they regard him highly leads Paul to say this. He says in verse 8, "For now we live because you are standing fast in the Lord. Now we live because you are firm in your faith." You could, in a sense, say that Paul, before he knew how they were doing, was dying. He was dying to know their spiritual condition. He was dying to know had the enemy overtaken them and snatched the gospel seed. He was dying to know had the seed taken root and germinated and produced 100-fold. And of course, that's what he finds out. But before he knew, he was dying inside. He was desperate to know their condition. And now that he knows, he says, "We live. We live because we know that you are standing fast in the Lord. You have not retreated. You have not found that the cares of this world are better than the things of God. You have not had the seed and the beginnings of the gospel choked out of your life by the cares of this world. No, the gospel has taken root. And because they are living for God, Paul is now living as an apostle." You know, a lot of people say about the apostle Paul, "Oh, he was a bright man. He was a well-educated man. And yes, he went around preaching, but he was just a man of all head and no heart." I think you've begun to see in these Thessalonian passages, he loves them deeply. And his greatest concern, and this ought to be our greatest concern, the greatest concern is that they are standing firm in their faith. No matter what peaks and valleys or losses or crosses, no matter what hardships of life come, whether there's internal sin struggles or external church persecution or internal church strife, whatever may come the way of individual and collective Christians, if we stand firm in our faith, when the gales and the storms and the wind and the waves come, these things will fortify us. And as Paul says, it brings them great comfort. And it perhaps brings comfort to every minister, every elder, every church leader, every parent, to know that the people in their charge are standing fast in the Lord. He was dying, but now is living. He was wondering about them. Now he has heard the good news, the gospel news, that they are doing well. And he says, "Now I can live. Now I can have life." Then he answers or asks an open-ended question. It's one of those rhetorical questions that, you know, those kind, you hear them asked, but you don't answer them. And he says so in verse 9, "For what thanksgiving can we return to God for you?" When we're praying night and day, when we're praying without ceasing, what thanksgiving can we return to God for you, for all the joy that we feel for your sake, for all the happiness we now have because we're living before God, because we heard how well you're doing? So what thanksgiving, as we pray earnestly night and day, what can we pray? before God. It's open-ended. And what's the answer? You give back to God everything. He's provided so richly for the Thessalonians and now for Paul. Well, there's another little bit of insight here as Paul is praying and giving thanks. He still wants to see them face to face. He still wants to visit them. And he says at the very end of verse 10, I want to supply what is lacking in your faith. Well, you got Timothy's report. It's good news. It's gospel news. He's so excited. He's living and not dying. What could possibly be missing from their Christian faith? I mean, we heard of their faith. We heard of their love. We heard of their kind regards to Paul and their longing to see him just as he longs to see them. What could possibly be missing? Well, you know from living the Christian life that we can have our Bibles and read them for our entire lives and still see new things. We can read old passages and come to new insight. We can read a passage that didn't mean something to us in our previous years or Christian experience, but now with things having changed, God by His Spirit perhaps points out something to us we had not seen before, or something we didn't necessarily need before. And so this is an encouragement, a great encouragement, I think, as the Church of Jesus Christ, living in not so great times. We have a little persecution headed our way, but not so much as other places in the world. We are not as esteemed as we once were in this world. There's a hostility towards Christianity now, no longer a respect for it. And perhaps because we have so many things coming at us now in the world, there's so much noise through digital media, digital devices. We have our brains just spread thin for all the things grabbing at our attention. And so it's difficult for us to feed our faith. It's a challenge to us to grow in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus. It's perhaps a dangerous time for Christians. And so like the Thessalonians, like the Apostle Paul, our prayer ought to be that we would be standing firm in the Lord, standing fast in our faith, that we would be people of joy, people of faith, and people of love, people whose Christian lives, people whose Christian testimony is of good report. And so that is a challenge, I think, to us. Be the biography that people will someday read. You know, you read Christian biographies and you read about their faith, their testing, their hardships, and you read about their struggles, but also their triumphs. And what you begin to realize is, you know, every Christian throughout every age, whether they're famous or lesser known, you know, they're just like us. They put their pants on one leg at a time. They bleed when they are pricked. They suffer from the flesh or remnant sin. They suffer from the desires of this world. They suffer under the temptations of Satan. And it's good and encouraging to read biographies and see how people fared in their faith. But I think it may be good for us to be challenged to be a biography. Let your life be worth living and reading by a future generation. Maybe you won't be famous, but perhaps like Hebrews 11, it will say of you, your faith was in God. It was in things unseen, and yet you did not receive them in this life, but you received them in the next. What do we pray for? You know, we say from time to time at church prayer meetings, let's don't let it be the organ recital, you know, for big toes and all the rest. Does God care about our bodies? Yes, He does. He made them. And He is going to redeem them, and they will be with our souls in heaven forever. God cares about our bodies. But our big toes, and you know, that's my little funny, are big toes the main headings of our prayer list? No, it ought to be, and look down, it'll be next week's passage. Look at chapter 3, verse 11 and 12 and 13. This is what Paul will pray for the Thessalonians. It's what I mentioned in our pastoral prayer this morning. Is God praying for, or is Paul praying for organs? I bet he does at some point, but he says, may our God and Father Himself and our Lord Jesus direct our way to you. So he wants to go and encourage. And may the Lord make you increase and abound in love for one another and for all as we do for you, so that he may establish your hearts blameless and in holiness before our God and Father at the coming of our Lord Jesus with all his saints. So don't hear me saying at prayer meeting, don't bring up big toes. God cares about the body. But when's the last time we heard a prayer request? You know, a little hand up. Can we pray tonight for so-and-so, that God's love and grace may abound more and more in them, and that they may be effective in this dark and dying world and amidst this crooked and depraved generation? When's the last time we heard such a request? Well, that's what it would have been at Paul and Silas and Timothy's prayer meetings. Yes, thanksgiving for the good news. Yes, thanksgiving because they are now living and not dying, because they now know the spiritual condition of the Thessalonians. But they pray for two things: that they'll be able to see them face to face and minister to them and fill up or supply what is lacking in the faith. What a wonderful and sweet passage this is, to see the earnest, sincere love of the Apostle Paul for the saints. He desires their faith. He desires their well-being. And he desires to visit with them and provide them with ongoing pastoral care, face to face, person to person, house to house, and so that Christ may be fully formed in them. I hope that these things will shape today your desires for your own spiritual life, your priorities for your prayer life, but also shape your view of the church. We want to see people convinced and converted to faith in Jesus, hear the good news and respond. But we also want to see people comforted and built up in their faith, so when they walk out these doors and the storms of life pour down on them, their faith, their firm footing will hold them and see them through as they walk to the heavenly city with their eyes on Christ and their feet firmly planted on God's path to the glorious city. May it be so for all of us. Pray with me. Lord, we ask and pray for help and blessing and strength and courage and diligence in the Christian life, so that our faith and so that our love and so that our regard for one another is what we have seen today in the life of the Thessalonians and the life of the Apostle Paul. And may it be a blessing to those that we spend time with in the Lord, and may it be a witness to the watching world. Hear, help, and bless us now, we pray in Christ's mighty name. Amen.